Hi friends, this is Angie,
Becca,
Heather,
Bonnie,
your host of the Seasons Ministry podcast, and we are so excited to have you join us in conversation again in just two small verses in the book of Proverbs that God has really been directing our hearts to over and over and over again. So I'm just going to begin by reading verses 5 and 6 out of Proverbs 3. In this wisdom literature, and I just keep going back to knowing that this is a father instilling wisdom on his son and showing him how to live a life of faith. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. In all your ways acknowledge him is what this session is really going to focus in on. And I think sometimes it's easy for us to acknowledge him, but this is saying in everything, every moment of your life, acknowledge him, acknowledge him. So let's just start the conversation. Like, what does that even look like to you to bring that little piece of a verse into your life?
So I think I just want to say it's been kind of a struggle for us to study trust because God pushes us to trust him in it. We all are definitely in our comfort zones when it comes to studying God's word, and we have our little routines of doing that and familiar with his word from a long time of doing it, I guess. So when we come into two verses and eight sessions, but the concept of trust is so big, mm-hmm. and from, you know, cover to cover, it's hard to know how to approach it from the way that we normally approach things. When we studied Habakkuk or Jonah or 2 Timothy or whatever, it's just, you know, 2 Timothy 1:1 through 4, whatever it ends with. And you know, we have that pathway. But as we are saying, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, I think we have put ourselves, or God has put us in the situation where we have to acknowledge him and allow him to make our path straight. So we are working through it and sort of laboring through this process while we are talking through the concept of trust. So God in his way pushes us to the, I guess, limit so that we have to rely on him. And we all show up at this table with our microphones going, I don't know what we're going to talk about. I know some of what we're going to talk about. We don't know how it's going to go because we're just acknowledging him and trusting him to guide us. So I want to start with something from Joshua. Joshua 9. So I'm studying the book of Joshua right now as we're doing these sessions. And a lot of what I'm going to talk about is coming from Joshua, but it's a concept that is from cover to cover. So I think the challenge is, as you are studying whatever it is that you're studying, look for ways that trust is applied. Mm-hmm. And that's what we all are doing because trust is everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start with a story where Joshua, who has always been very good, according to Moses' documentation, at trusting God and being obedient and following in the leadership that God gives him. But in Joshua 9, there was this situation where they had finished with Jericho, some stuff happened, and all of the Canaanite countries were having a freak out, and most of them were ganging up together and trying to think that in, you know, great crowds they would have success. And they were unified around the fear that they had. So they were just trusting what they had because they didn't have God. But the Gibeonites, one little group came up with a different plan, and they decided to trick Joshua, and they got a bunch of old bread and some raggedy clothes and put dirt on their faces and stuff. And they went to Joshua and said, "We aren't from here. We're just traveling through. Could you make an oath to not kill us?" Basically, it was a dirty trick. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so then in Joshua 9, verse 14, it says, "So the men took some of their provisions, which was the old bread and the old wineskins that had burst, and looked at their shoes and stuff." And it says, "But they did not ask counsel from the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live." And then in verse 16, it says, "At the end of 3 days, after they'd made the covenant, they heard that they were neighbors and that they lived among them. And all the people of Israel," it doesn't say all, sorry. "And the people of Israel set out and reached their cities on the third day." And I'm going to skip to verse 18. "But the people of Israel did not attack them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by God, the God of Israel. Then all the congregation murmured against the leaders." So I just want to talk about that, because this was a situation where Joshua did not ask God. He leaned on his own understanding, and now he was being held accountable by the people who had put their trust in him as their leader to lead them the way that God had told. Mm-hmm. And now they were looking at this vow and they have to decide, well, it's too late to obey God in this way, but now we have to obey God in honoring this covenant that we made. And so I think it's really good for us to look at times when famous, strong biblical characters make mistakes, because it helps us remember that they're people. And that we also are vulnerable to making mistakes. Mm-hmm. Joshua was in a relationship with God. He was given this role of authority. And then on this one day, in this really obvious situation, he leaned on his own understanding. Mm-hmm. And he made a mistake. Mm-hmm. So I think it's so easy for us to do the same thing and just think, oh, this one's not a big deal. I got this. Mm-hmm. And then jump into something really stupid and then be held accountable for it. Heather, what do you think?
I'm not really sure. I mean, that was really good. And it's hard to trust in this life. And we were just speaking about that earlier, and to lean in on God. And I have to remind myself that he is the potter and I am the clay. And just like somebody makes a bench, like, you know, you have a craftsman who makes a bench, you trust that you can sit there and it's not going to. But we have such a hard time trusting Jesus. We have such a hard time, and he is the potter. And sometimes I have to remind myself, I didn't create myself. I didn't save myself. He did that. Mm-hmm. And I need to trust him wherever he takes me or takes the people I love, because his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. And I need to lean in and trust him. And how to do that is to find him in the mundane of every day, to walk circumspectly with our Lord, and to look up and, you know, I love being in nature, because you can see all of nature rejoices in him. And if he can create that and have everything working down to the millisecond, surely I can trust him with where he leads.
I just think the word trust and our being here speaks of trust, I think. And this whole concept of acknowledging, I think acknowledging God means trusting him. And it's a move from independence to dependence on him. Realizing that our knowledge is limited and God's is not. He's all-knowing. And so this acknowledging God, yes, I believe, leads to trusting him, but it's also accepting the fact that he is God and we are not, and therefore we rely on his wisdom mm-hmm. in our trusting.
So in all your ways acknowledge him, and it really has me thinking back to Moses and the continual and the amount of time like Moses went up to commune with God, and Joshua was right there watching all of that. So you build this momentum, and you know, for all those years Joshua is under Moses and learning and watching. Well, now this is him stepping, you know, Joshua, yeah. He steps into it, and he's walking and it's going well. And when things are going well, then we kind of get ourselves puffed up and we know what we're doing. So let's take the next step, and we forget to acknowledge him. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, what Heather said, like in the mundane, it's like we're always taking steps. We're on this journey for however many days God gave us. And he's saying in all of it, in the very smallest of things, but it becomes a rhythm of life. And I think, like what you were saying, like our go-to spiritual discipline is Bible study. That's dig, dig, dig. And God real quick said, what about silence? What about solitude? What about these other things? And it's reawakening. It's something new because there's more of him to discover. But he's saying, you know, watch, because just like the Pharisees, you get too much into the intellectual and you're going to lean on your own understanding. And he's saying, so let me take you out of your comfort zone and just acknowledge me. Ask me. Just bring right. me in. And, you know, he's inviting us into this relationship with him, but he's inviting us to invite him into all the pieces of our life. But I think that's what it is. You know, I haven't been studying Joshua, so I don't know. I don't feel confident but I'm just thinking like that makes sense. That's what we see in current day mm-hmm. is leaders whose heart most likely started in the right place and in a place of surrender. And somewhere along the way, they started spending less time with God and even thought they were doing for God, and they veered off the path that he had for them.
Yeah, and I think it just shows us how vulnerable we are
yes.
to
yes.
walking naively in mm-hmm. confidence. You know, mm-hmm. it's like this test that God gave to Joshua as a new leader. He spelled out all of this step-by-step thing to do, and I think as it was a big deal. And I know in my life, I'm around a lot of young adults who are making big decisions, you know, mm-hmm. so they're just like pouring over these decisions with all of this. Well, what about this and what about that? And how do I know what God is leading? And, you know, and I'm like, oh, just relax. But in the little things, we so easily just make all these assumptions that this is going to be right and this is going to work and all these things are going to happen, but they don't work that way. A lot of times they change or adjust it, and we don't expect what happens. And then we're in this tailspin of, oh God, well, I want to trust you, but I didn't think I had to trust you for that. And this is where we see Joshua in chapter mm-hmm. 9, because he's all prepped yeah. and ready to follow every single step that God lays out. But God didn't specifically say, hey, when someone comes to trick you, mm-hmm. ask me about it. And mm-hmm. they were really good. And this is one of Satan's schemes that, you know, from Ephesians chapter 6. Satan is scheming to rob, steal, kill, destroy. And so here's Satan coming in with these really convincing situation, and Joshua's like, oh, I got this. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work out. And I mean, I guess I don't want to say that to freak everybody out, but also just, you know, to bring awareness to ourselves and to our own mindsets that we think we don't have to trust God in the small things. We think just in the big, but it says all. Mm-hmm. And I like how you pointed that out, Angie, in all your ways acknowledge him.
Yeah, and I'm in 2 Kings, and I was reading yesterday about Elisha is with his men, and they are building, and the axe head ends up in the river, mm-hmm. and he throws a stick out and the axe head floats, which is a miracle in and of itself. And it just shows that Jesus, he is involved in the little things. You know, the servant was like, I borrowed this. I need this back. And God was concerned with that. God was concerned in that little thing that doesn't seem like a big deal. I mean, if you think about it, if you're building something by a river and you borrow an axe and it falls in the water, you're like, well, I guess I can go and get another one. But back then, they really couldn't. And God was concerned in that. Mm-hmm. He was concerned in floating that axe head for that particular servant. So he would be okay. And I think that shows that he is involved, like you all said, in the mundane. He's involved in the small things. Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, Becca, we try to look for him in the big. Like we think we can only go for him to him with the big. But he is concerned with the small if we choose to give it to him. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I'll have to admit, I don't choose to give him the little mm-hmm. things.
Right.
I only want to be concerned with the big things because those are big in my life. But he's concerned in all things. And I love that in 2 Kings where he just showed, yeah, I got you.
What chapter was it?
2 Kings chapter 6.
Okay.
6. Goodness, that has me thinking back to Jonah. Like, he got the success, and he was, and then God did give him instruction, and he was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't understand that, so I'm not going to do that. So even sometimes we do hear the next step, and then we talk ourselves out of it because we can't possibly come around it.
In all your ways, acknowledge him. Yeah. So that means the big and the small. And I think acknowledging him in all of our ways can only happen from a heart that is in submission to God. Mm-hmm. And his will and his plan. And, you know, what does acknowledging God look like? Even in the small, it may be a one-sentence prayer through the day. Mm-hmm. You know, thank you, Lord. And moving on to whatever it is you're doing, or, you know, help me, Lord. You know, that is acknowledging him in the little, you know. And I think in all of our decision-making, and maybe this is something that we can teach young people, those young people who are making huge decisions for their lives, when we think about it, is, yes, acknowledge God in our decision-making as well, from the big things to the little things, you know. And you have, all of you have children who are in the process of making decisions. And so to teach that to them, acknowledge God in all things, in all your ways, and, you know, He will help you make the right decisions. He will direct your path. You know?
So I like to be nerdy and look up the words. So for acknowledge him in the original language, it's yada, Y-A-D-A. But it says that it implies a deep personal and relational knowledge, such as the intimate relationship between God and his people. And so I've been reading a lot this year in the Gospels. And so Jesus is our ultimate example of acknowledging his Father. And we see this over and over and over again where he says, I can do nothing. Like, I'm not doing anything unless my Father is telling me. And I am in him and he is in me. And just over and over. And even when he says, like, my food is to do the will of the Father. And so Jesus was very clear on why he had to humble himself and come in human form, is to do the will of the Father. And so we see him often, you know, he goes about his days with people coming at him a million different directions. Sometimes he's disappointing them because he's not what they expect, but he is so in tune with the Father and who he is along as a part of the Trinity, that he just stayed focused on that one thing. And so I just love looking at, you know, as he goes about, we see him continually drawing. Sometimes it's in the middle of the night, but he just has to go back and commune with the Father over and over and over again. And even when he didn't understand it, you know, that he's fully God, but also fully human. So in the biggest of surrender in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he says, you know, if there's any other way, Father, like, take this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done. And that's what I think, just in all of it. And even like when we're like Joshua and we veer off, it's coming back to him and saying, you know, I confess this to you. I thought I knew a better way, but I'm coming back to you because you are like the very God that created us is the one that's saying, trust me, like trust that I created you for a specific purpose. I didn't create you to be a Joshua. I didn't create you to be a Moses. I created you for exactly where you're at, to be an extension of me. And while we won't look exactly like Jesus, we can only hope and pray that people see pieces of him as we surrender. And that's the only way they're gonna see it, as we acknowledge him. But, yeah.
So I was thinking as you and Bonnie were talking just a minute ago about in all your ways acknowledge him, and just thinking about who we do that with, because you don't acknowledge something if you're not familiar with it and incorporating it into your day. Mm-hmm. So what relationships in your life currently are you acknowledging in all your ways? Because I think most of us have a person or two or 10 that we acknowledge in all of our decisions. You know, like, oh, I can't decide what I want to eat. I mean, I'm thinking about my spouse, my children, the people that are closest to me, mm-hmm. you all, sitting around me. I go to you with the dumb things. I go to you with the big things. You know, we're just having a relationship and conversation already. And like, well, I'm trying to decide, do I want to do this or that? You know, or even I think to my husband especially, you know, we're together all the time. So I'll say, well, what do you think about this? What do you want for dinner? And it seems maybe oversimplified, but still, I think because we have a relationship with each other, it seems natural to acknowledge him and his thoughts, whether or not I go with them, you know, mm-hmm. I still acknowledge him in my decisions and the directions that I take. And then when we're looking at God and acknowledging him, it's more natural to do it when you know him, when you're already yes. having a relationship with him, when you're already incorporating him and his word, and his light is shining a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It's more natural to include him. And I think you're right, Bonnie, when you say to these kids, young adults, I guess, in all your ways acknowledge him, it's about being in the habit of acknowledging him in the little things, so that when there are big things, you're more confident, you know his voice, you know his leading, you recognize the Holy Spirit inside of you directing you in a certain way. And if you are only asking him to do that for you on those big decision days, then how will you know when he's answering you? And that made me think about 2 Peter. So I'm going to read 2 Peter 3, 14 through 18. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, they're waiting for the day that Jesus comes back. You know, they're waiting, as we all are, waiting for his return, waiting for his leadership. So, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish, and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom he has given, as he does in all his letters when he speaks to them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care what you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever, to the day of eternity. Amen. And so I feel like this is Peter, who had a relationship with Jesus, a personal one, And now he's directing them. Like, in all your ways, acknowledge him. I feel like that's what he's saying. You have to know him. You have to know his word. You have to understand his character so that when people come to deceive you, just as they did with Joshua, that you're prepared. You know beforehand, like he said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord so that on the day that he comes, you will be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace.
It makes me think of the Apostle John. You know, during Jesus's trial, he was by his side, close by. At the cross, he was the only disciple who was there. Yeah. And he acknowledged Christ for who he is and was. And Jesus noticed that, because even from the cross, you know, Jesus had siblings, right? We know he did. There are a couple of them are writers in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. But he said to John, he knows that John acknowledged him, and he said, please take care of my mother. Please take care of my mother. That's a big deal, especially back in that culture. Mm-hmm. And so John was acknowledging him, and he even said how much he loved him and how much Jesus loved him. And I just feel like he lived that out. He lived it out by staying close to Christ in the most horrible time in history. And he acknowledged Christ, and Christ acknowledged his love.
And that's part of what acknowledging is, to recognize the importance of. Yeah, Becca, you know, when you were talking about concerning, like, your spouse, mm-hmm. and what his opinion is, or what, because he is important in your life. And I think if we look at our relationship with Christ in that same way and acknowledge the importance of the Holy Spirit within us, and then allowing him. So it goes back to that concept, Angie, as you talked to her, just submission, mm-hmm. submission to mm-hmm. recognizing the importance of. And I think if we look at Proverbs 3, 1 through 5, I think it kind of spells out the way of acknowledging God. And just doing a little bit of summarizing of those verses, mm-hmm. it's like, one, do not forget his teachings, mm-hmm. and that's the importance of being in God's word. Mm-hmm. Keep his commandments in your heart. Keep love and faithfulness close. And all that you do, we need to do through love. Mm-hmm. We talked about that a little bit earlier, just before the button was punched here with our discussion, you know, that we as Christians in our workings and our relationship with others, how important it is that the other person understand that we are coming from the aspect of love and not our human love, but through God's love working within us and through us. And then trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I mean, all of that, I think, that spells out for us. This is how we acknowledge God in all things, in all of our ways.
Yeah, I'm going to go one verse further.
Okay.
You went through 6, right? So 7, be wise, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. But that fear the Lord, it's putting God at his proper place above all. Overall, in all, forever reigning, and then just continually following him. I mean, when you were talking, Heather, you know, I'm back in the Gospel of John, and I think when Jesus reappeared after he died and was resurrected, and those days where he's still here on earth before he ascended, and he's teaching his disciples, and, you know, he has the interaction with Peter, like back around the fire and restoring him for his wrong choices. But Peter, in that, you know, he, at the end of that, Jesus says, follow me. And what that language was, I remember one time it just jumped off. Like, it's keep following me, keep acknowledging me, keep seeking to understand and know what this word says. And Peter goes, well, what about John? You know, he wants to look over there and say, what about this disciple? And Jesus redirects him right back and says, no, you follow me. You acknowledge me. John may have a different path than you, Peter, but you acknowledge me, he will acknowledge me. And then when we all do that together, it's the most beautiful of things that the church can do. And it shows that extension of love and peace and trusting.
And it brings unity. I think it comes back in a lot of ways to how when we all acknowledge him in all our ways, the Holy Spirit, the great conductor of all the things, he makes everything unified because his plan is so beautifully unified throughout the church and throughout time, eternity, you know, it brings that unity. I can't wait to talk about this some more. I'm just amazed at how we think and stew and wonder what we're going to talk about, and then all of a sudden we're finished. And we wonder how we couldn't cram any more in these 30 minutes. Let's wrap it up. It's a lot to think about and process and consider in our own ways, in all our ways, acknowledge him. Bonnie, would you like to pray for us?
Sure. And I just want to throw in a statement before we pray. I think it's about cultivating a lifestyle of trust, humility, and submission to acknowledge him in all our ways. So let's pray.
That's a good one.
In a minute, you're going to remind us what you said so we can write it down.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to sit here together and look at your word. And Father, it's such a big word, just trust. And we know, Father, that in all our ways, we are to acknowledge you. And Father, we are to trust you. And sometimes that's easy to do, but sometimes in the big things, Father, it becomes more difficult. Help us to cultivate just an attitude, Father, within our hearts of trusting you and submitting to you and just simply knowing that you know best. We thank you that you are our Father, and we just want to acknowledge you in all of our ways, all of our decisions. We just want to say we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name.